Man, thank you so much. I have really enjoyed the special music today, as always. And I appreciate people using their talent to honor the Lord with. You have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 for the scripture. Pastor David read in your hearing. Today what I'd like to do is I want to talk to you about a subject that may surprise you at being Easter, the resurrection. And no one laughed. Okay. I want to talk to you about the resurrection, but in a little different angle. You know, Pastor David has been preaching on Sunday nights on who do you think you are? And this past Wednesday, I preached on the resurrection. And what are you going to do about it? And as I was sitting at my desk this past week, I thought, you know, Brother David and I kind of going back to the hood there. We, you know, who do you think you are? You know, what are you going to do about it? And as I began to look in 1 Corinthians 15, I thought about the resurrection and I thought about this. I thought, what's it mean to you? What's it mean to you? Because Jesus has risen from the grave, what does that mean for you? What does it mean? Well, we talked in Sunday school this morning about there's two classes of people. Now, there's only two classes. There's those that are saved and those that are not. Those that are saved will resurrect unto life everlasting. And those that are not will resurrect to damnation, everlasting punishment. But what's it mean to we who are saved? You see, everyone's coming out of the grave. Not just saved people. Jesus said there's going to come a day when all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. As a Christian, I wonder what it means to you that Jesus has come out of the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 has a principle in it that is very helpful in studying the Bible. It's called the full mention principle. There are times in the Word of God that God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a full mention of this principle or this doctrine or this truth. The tongue, Pastor David preached on that some in James chapter 3, and that's where you can find the full mind of God that he wants us to know about our speech and our tongue. 1 Corinthians 13. Charity or love, God said, this is the chapter I want to reveal to you some things about charity and love. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, it's on the resurrection. Now, you have to have a little bit of the background, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of background here. The letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and that's what's happening here. You understand that. The Apostle Paul, a man of God that is writing this. He talked about the time when he met Jesus, and he refers to the road to Damascus, and he met him there, and God saved him, and he called him to preach his word, and he preached with power and with passion, and he would go to these areas as missionaries, and he would preach the gospel, and people would be saved, and he would start churches very similar to what we have here. Actually, we model those churches, and we get our doctrine from these letters that he wrote back to these churches that he started. It's called the epistles of church doctrine, the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Thessalonians, and those letters that he wrote to them, we gather much of our church doctrine from those letters, and that's why we do the things that we do here at the church. This is not just something that this preacher came up with, or some preacher before me, or those of another generation came up with. No, we model this after Bible teaching, and we get what we do and how we do it and what we preach and how we preach it from the Word of God. And here in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing this church, and they had gotten a little off base. And by the way, that can happen. Well, it won't happen to me. Now, wait a minute. There was a man by the name of Peter who said that, and he denied the Lord three times. And so we're all apt to get off base. This church had gotten a little off base. And so the first six chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians is written by reproof. Now, the Word of God brings reproof. And the apostle is reproving them, and he's saying, hey, listen, you've got this thing mixed up. You're breaking off into factions, and God's for unity. And you're just doing things, and you're acting in ways that is not pleasing to God. And he reproves them. And then in chapter 7, through the remainder of the book, chapter 16, he gives them correction. You know, it's one thing to reprove, and reproof just basically says, hey, you're not doing this right. But that's not where it ends. Aren't you glad that God doesn't stop with reproof? God gives correction. And with correction should come instruction. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that God just doesn't tell me, hey, you're doing it wrong. God says, hey, let me show you how to do that right. Let me show you how to get this right. And let me instruct you on how to move forward in this area. I'm so thankful for the Word of God for that very thing. And that's what this letter's about. Now, there were some in this congregation at Corinth that had things all mixed up, and even to the point of the resurrection. Let me show you what I'm talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You have your Bible there open? Please open it. Look at verse, if you would, at verse number 15. I'm sorry, not verse number 15. Let me find it here. Verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Now, if Christ, see, I thought that I could go by memory. My wife keeps telling me, those days are over, honey. Those days are over. Write it down. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. Now, watch this statement. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so, he's getting ready to correct their false theology. He's getting ready to set the record straight on what it means that Christ has resurrected from the dead. He's getting ready to tell them, what's this mean to you? This is what it means to you. Now, you and I that are here today, it means no different to us. What it meant to those early believers in the days when the church of Corinth was founded, it means to you and I here at the church at Madison, here at Fellowship Baptist Church. It means the same to all believers. Since Christ has risen from the dead, it means change in our lives. What kind of change does it mean? What's in it for me? What's it mean to me that Jesus came up out of the grave victorious over death and hell? Well, the Apostle Paul said, I want to tell you what it means. And he gave us some things, and I want you to write these things down, would you? This chapter is dedicated to the resurrection. The very first part of this chapter, Pastor David read in your hearing, in chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, he said, you know, there's proof to the resurrection. There's proof. This is not just some hearsay. This is not just something that a group of Baptists or Presbyterian or Methodists or any other denomination got together and said, hey, let's kind of start this thing called church and let's say that this happened and that happened. No, he said, there's proof. God came in human flesh and his name is Jesus. He was the sent Messiah. He came into his own and his own received him not. Then he grafted in we who are outside the covenant law of Israel. He grafted in we who are Gentiles. Brethren, if we only knew how blessed we are that we could hear such a glorious message and that God would show such favor unto us to reveal himself to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He says here in chapter number 15, he said, look, if you would, moreover, brethren, verse number 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. You know what the word gospel means? It means good news. And he begins to elaborate. And he begins to talk about the good news. Now some say, well, you know, the good news is that Jesus came. Well, the good news doesn't end there. And others say, well, the good news is that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He did, but the good news doesn't end there. The good news is that Jesus came and that he lived and that he died on the cross. He died on the cross and was buried. But can I tell you, if that's all that there was, If this presentation from the Apostle Paul ended in verse number 3, where it says if Christ died, look at it in verse number 3. He said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the first part of verse number 4 says, and that he was buried. Brethren, can I tell you, if it ends right there, that's not good news. But thank God it doesn't end there. The rest of verse number 4 says, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that is some good news. Amen. Amen. I can pin my faith on that. I can stake my eternity on that. That Jesus did come. He did die for our sins. He was buried. But thank God he came up out of the grave. And because of that, that showed that God was satisfied. God was satisfied with his atonement. God was satisfied with his sacrifice and said, I will receive your death, my son, for the sin of Dale Freeman. I will receive your death and burial and your resurrection for all of those that will come to me in faith, saying, I believe by faith that Jesus died for me and that he was buried and he rose the third day according to the Scripture. The Bible says, if you do that, thou shalt be saved. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. But you know, the apostle here said, it's proven. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. There's a word that keeps showing up. And that he was, what's that next word there in verse 5? Look at it. And that he was, tell me, church, seen. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And after that he was, say it with me, seen. Look at verse number 7. After that he was seen of James. And last of all, verse number 8. He was seen. You know, Luke, as he was writing in the book of Acts, said that he showed himself alive by many infallible truths. So the first thing is the proof of the resurrection. Brethren, I'm here to declare unto you today that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. You say, preacher, are you trying to convince me? Listen, God will give you the gift of faith if you exercise it. And if you exercise that gift of faith, you won't need anybody to convince you. You yourself will be convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is alive and alive forevermore. The proof of the resurrection. And then in verse number 12 down through verse number 19, he moves from the proof to the importance of the resurrection. He keeps using this same word, just like he does seen for the proof. He uses the same word for the importance of it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13. If there be no resurrection. Look in verse number 14. If Christ be not risen. Verse number 15, the latter part says, if so be that the dead rise not. Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not. Look at verse 17. And if Christ not be raised. It's important, brethren. It's important that we understand that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And that's what this section deals with. It talks about the importance that if Jesus had not risen from the grave, our faith would be in vain. We'd still be in our sin. There'd be no hope for eternity. He summed it up in verse number 19. Look at it. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Could you imagine this being all there was? I'm so thankful for my life. Listen, you've heard me say it. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times in these near 20 years I've been your pastor. God has blessed me beyond measure. I'm a blessed man. I praise God for my life. But I got to tell you something. I'm thankful this is not all there is. I'm going to a land that's fairer than day. Are you listening? I'm going to a place where there's no sin, no sorrow, no heartache, no hospitals, no death, no parting. I'm going to a place, brethren, where I will never let God down again. I will never have an impure thought. I will never take a step out of tune with the will of God. Thank God for that. Thank God there's more than this life. Thank God there's more than this. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful for this life. I'm thankful for what God is doing and has done for me. But I know there's a better day coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, it's important that we understand that this life is not all there is. because it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, there is an afterlife. Now you'll move down, and he goes from the proof of the resurrection to the importance to the order. You see, please don't think that we're all just going to die. One day, God's going to call up from heaven and say, get up, and we're all going to come out of the grave together. That's not what the Bible teaches anywhere. The Bible says that God has fashioned and he has ordered the way that we're going to resurrect. Notice, if you would, here in verse number 20. After he said in verse 19, if, there's that word again, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He said in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, amen. And so we don't have to just pin everything on this life. There's a life coming. There is an afterlife. So don't get so caught up in living in this life that you forget to store up treasures in the afterlife. Somebody say amen with the preacher this morning. Listen to me now. This is important. We have gotten so attached to this life. We have gotten so invested into this life only. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of your duties and responsibility in this life. It's godly. It's right to do so. But don't put all of your eggs, I'm going to use this Easter analogy. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Somebody say amen with me. Don't you do that now and get so invested in this life that you forget that there is an afterlife. And he said, Christ is risen from the dead. Look at it. And has become the first fruits of them that slept, which means they've died. Now, what does that mean? Well, I don't want to go into it because I'm eager to get to telling you what you're going to be like in the afterlife. So you didn't know you was going to come to church this morning and find out what you was going to be in the next life, did you? When Pastor David said there's a surprise coming, he just didn't know. I have people ask me all the time, what would it be like in the next life? Will we know each other? Will we be recognizable? Will we be identifiable? What's the next life going to be, preacher? Well, the Bible's getting ready to tell us. Aren't you glad God doesn't leave us in darkness? Oftentimes, this man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that wrote this letter, said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to remain in the dark about this. I want you to know about that better day. And some of the things, I don't know it all. And God chose not to give us all, but I'm glad there's some things here that'll help us. He said, the first fruits. See, those Israelites, back in the day when they would reap that first crop, they would take these sheaves and they would go out and they would wave them before God because they were saying, God, thank you for giving us this increase. But they would also wave them saying, we know that the harvest is coming. There's more to come. You see, when Jesus resurrected, according to Matthew 27, you might want to write that down. In Matthew 27, many of the Old Testament saints came out of the grave with him. Did you know that? They did. They did. And the Bible says here in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, for every man in his own, what's that next word? Order. And that's our thought right here. So there's the proof of the resurrection. There's the importance of it. Now here's the order of it. And everyone's going to come out in his own order. It says what? Christ the first fruits. That was when Christ resurrected, and those Old Testament saints came out with him. But notice this. It says, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. One day, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Amen. Could be today. How about it, Christians? Could be today. So I don't believe that. Oh, that means we're real close because, listen, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming. Could be today. Wouldn't that be wonderful if Jesus came today? It would be glorious. If you're saved. Now, if you're not, not so good for you. And that's a message for another time. But please know that you need to be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so he said, Christ, here's the order. It's Christ and the first fruits. That resurrection has already taken place. But as a part of that, this first resurrection, as a part of that, it's, and he said, notice in verse number 23, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. That's when the rapture takes place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then notice what it says right after that in verse number 24. Then cometh the end. You see that word cometh is in parentheses. I'm glad that the translators put it there. I truly am. But it says then the end resurrection. Which are all those that are not saved. And so all those that are saved are going to be resurrected. And then all those that are not are. And there's going to be this period of time between them when Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth. See, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen anyway. And I don't say that to be smarter. Like, I mean, I'm just telling you the facts. See, here in America, we've gotten to the place where we think we get to decide how things are going to be by what we believe. What I believe doesn't make it true. I want to believe the truth. Amen. But just because I believe it doesn't mean it's true. So don't get deceived now into thinking, well, you know, what I say, what I believe is the way it is. Well, it ought to be, but it might not be. So make sure that you weigh out what you believe by truth. The order. Now, here's where I want to get into. What are you going to be like in the next life? We're all coming out of the grave. That's what he said. There's an order to the resurrection. Is that what verse 23 says, church? We're in the Bible. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. You understand that? There are no errors in the Bible. I had a man one time come to me, and he said, you know, he said, I've heard you say that many times. And he said, I think there are errors in the Bible. And I said, well, please don't be offended by this, but I'd like for you to show me one. And I handed him my Bible. Show me an error. He said, well, I don't know where they are. I just know they're in there. And I said, well, if you don't, I mean, what does that mean? What do you mean? There are no errors in the Bible. Now, there may be errors in the way I perceive the Bible. I don't want them to be. But there are no errors in the Word of God. And God said that there's proof of the resurrection. Many infallible proofs. He said the resurrection is important. For if there be no resurrection, we're out. We're done. But thank God there is a resurrection. Now is Christ risen from the dead. And then he said there's even an order because God does everything decently and in order. And now he says there's a nature. I want to get your close attention for about 10 minutes here. I won't make it to the final section here. The final section begins in verse number 51 where the Apostle Paul says there, behold, I show you a mystery. He said, I'm going to show you something that up until this point you have no knowledge of. But I'm going to reveal it to you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. And he begins to talk about the time when Jesus shall come and take us out of this old sin-cursed world. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight, the Lord willing. But right now I want to talk about, so what happens when you get resurrected? Let's see what the Bible says. You ready? You got your thinking caps on? Do you? I hope so. If you'll notice with me, the section begins in verse number 35. He said, but you know, some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You know, through the years, I've had people ask me, I mean, really, they were very sincere and very honest. And there's been times in my own life and study, I've said, you know, I just want to know. What's going to happen? How is it going to come about? What will it be like in the next life? Disney, and I'm not throwing off on Disney, I'm just saying that fables and cartoons and fiction would have us to believe that we all sprout wings and float around on a cloud and pluck on a harp. Listen, I wouldn't mind any of those things. It all sounds pretty good to me, but that's not what's going to happen in the afterlife. It's just not. What is going to happen? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Here the Apostle Paul said this. He said, but now, he said, I can hear it now. I know about the congregation there. I remember when I was among you and I preached and I started that church there in Corinth. And he said, I can hear somebody say right now, how are the dead raised up? You see what he's saying here? Look at verse 35. And with what body do they come? How's that going to happen? You mean we're going to die and decay and decompose? And somehow we're going to come back and be the same? What's all that about? And the Apostle Paul said in verse number 36, thou fool. Now, listen, you have to take what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, you're not thinking this through. Don't think that he's just, you know, going for the knockout punch here. He's just saying, whoa here. Oh, think this through now. Don't let your emotions run you over. He said, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now follow his line of thinking here. He said in verse number 37, and that which thou sowest, now watch this next phrase, not that body that shall be. Did you get that? that thou sowest, that body that you bury, but he called it sowest, and he called it that for a reason. We'll get back to that in a moment. That you sow, that you plant, it's not going to be reconstructed. It's not going to be that body that went in the ground. Just like, and he gives an analogy here in just a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number, the last part of verse number 37. But bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Are you following? So you go outside and you take a seed, let's say an apple seed, and you throw it in the ground, and Jesus taught that the seed has to die, right? The grain of wheat, it dies. And it's just like us when we die, we go into the ground. But is it over there? Is it over? Is it over for that seed? And the Apostle Paul said, think it through, man. When you sow that seed, it's not over for that seed. See, God has put life, this life germ, and God has made life. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, scientists can tell you a lot about the operation of life, but they can tell you nothing about the origination of life. Life is from God, brethren. You understand that. And he said, you put that seed in the ground. And he said, there's something going to come up. And when we are sown, listen, something's going to come up. Now, he's talking to believers, but I want to tell you something. Every person that dies is going to be resurrected. Jesus said that in Matthew 5. He said, all that are in the grave are going to come forth. Amen. Some unto the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. And the apostle here is saying that when that seed goes in the ground, something's going to come up. So when I go into the ground, when I'm sown into the ground, and that's going to happen someday. It just is. And I don't mean to be morbid here this morning, but listen, if we live long enough, we're going to die. You understand that, right? Yeah. You say, well, I'm young. Well, you don't have to be old to die. I'm not being mean. I just want you to think about some things. You say, well, I'm in good health. You don't even have to be sick to die. You understand this. And when we're planted, something's coming up. What about the believer? What's it mean to you that Jesus Christ, what's it mean to you that Jesus came up? The Apostle Paul said, let me help you here. He said, when you put something in the ground, that same thing's coming up. You don't put apple seeds in the ground and orange come up. Now, what's he saying? He said, there's going to be a resemblance to who you are in the afterlife. You get that, right? You see what he's saying? What you put in the ground, it's not going to be the exact same. It's going to be a better version. That old seed that you put is going to die. But guess what it's going to bring up? It's going to bring up a better version of what you put in there. It's going to be the same resemblance. When I put apple seeds in the ground, I don't go out looking for oranges. I'm looking for something that resembles an apple. Somebody say amen with me. Whatever type of seed I put in the ground, I'm looking for something that resembles that, that comes from that. And what Paul was saying here is, listen, don't you think you could get to heaven and look around and say, I don't know anybody here. I mean, nobody, you know, and people's looking at you thinking, who are you? That's not what heaven's going to be like. That's not what the afterlife's going to be like. And he goes on to say this. Notice, if you would, he said, the God that we're dealing with here, notice, if you would, in verse number 39, he said, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now, he's talking about terrestrial, okay? He's talking about here on the earth. And he said God puts things in different ways. When there's I don't know how many types of fish there are. But, you know, you can look at one and say, that's a bass. That's crappie. That's a bream. That's a shark. Stay away from that, amen. You know why? Because God did that. You're going to be able to identify. Do you understand what Paul's saying here? We're going to be able to identify in the afterlife. That's what the resurrection means for me, that there is an afterlife. And because I've trusted Christ, I'm going to be with him in the afterlife. And I'm not going to a place where everybody's going to be a stranger to me. And I'm going to be a stranger to everyone. There's going to be a resemblance. There's going to be an identity. He said that in verse number 39. He said, all flesh is not the same. Please don't think that everybody in heaven is going to look the same. We're all going to look the same in heaven, preacher. Listen, we don't all look the same here. Somebody say amen to that. And we are not all going to look the same in heaven. So please stop that. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's just not. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, you know, God has, in his wonderful way, has created things to adapt to their environment. He said man has adapted to earth. Look at verse number 39. The flesh of men adapted to earth. The flesh of the beasts have adapted to the wild. The fishes to the water. The birds to the air. He said, guess what God's going to do? He's going to make you to adapt to your new home. Now watch what he does here in verse number 40. He said, there are also celestial bodies and the bodies terrestrial, but the glory of celestial is one and the glory of terrestrial is another. He said, you're going to be recognizable, you're going to be identifiable, but you're going to be different. Now you're fit for this life. You understand? Do you? You're fit for this life. When you go to heaven, you're going to be fit for that life. Did you know what the speed, who knows what the speed of light is? Somebody raise your hand and tell me what the speed of light is. Yes. Yes, 1 second is 100 and, yeah. That's a lot. That's could you imagine? Someone has said that there's only one thing faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. The speed of thought is faster than the speed of light. The speed of thought can take you by smell, by touch, by sight, somewhere, just like that. Just like that. In the afterlife, that's exactly what we're going to be. Jesus was outside of time, space, and matter. So will we. Look what he said here in verse number 40. Would you look? Verse 41. He said, there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. He said, when you get to heaven, it's going to be like, when you look at the sun, do you say, I wonder if that's the sun or the moon? No. Look what he said here. He said, there's another glory of the stars. How many different stars are there? Somebody tell me. Yeah, a lot. Somebody said a lot. Praise God, that's a good answer. More than we can number. Those stars have names. Did you know that God calls every one of those stars by names? Is that what the Psalms say? Come on, stay with me now. We're talking about the afterlife. Every star has a name. You go outside and you say, you call that name. You call that one. There's the Big Dipper. There's the Little Dipper. There's the North Star. You know why? Because God has deemed it that way. When we get to heaven, we're not going to look and say, you know what, you look familiar. Where do I know you from? Please don't think that's what heaven's going to be like. That is not what heaven's going to be like. You know, as far as I can tell now, there was only one occasion where people after Jesus resurrected that got a clear look at him and they didn't realize who he was. It was the disciples on the road of Emmaus. But if you'll read carefully, it says their eyes were holden. God did it for a purpose. People didn't have a problem realizing who Jesus was after he resurrected. He was with them for 40 days. They knew who he was. Just like they're going to know who you are till you resurrect. And you, and you, and you, and you. And me. Right? And so he said, don't despair that when we get to heaven, you know, we're not going to have the same body, but we're going to be recognizable. We're going to be identifiable. We're going to resemble. We're going to have the same characteristics. If you're dumb here, you'll be dumb there. No, I'm just carrying on. I had to wake some of you up. Amen? You're nodding. I started to say ugly, but my heart wouldn't let me be that mean. And so he said in verse, and I'm going to close right here. Don't miss this, okay? He said in verse number 41, he said, there's one glory of the sun and another of the moon and another of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. We'll differ. We're all not going to be the same. But it'll still be in glory. We'll still be in our glorified bodies. And he said, let me elaborate it. In verse number 42, he said, so is the resurrection of the dead. When you resurrect, this is exactly the way it's going to be. And he said, you're going to be sown in corruption. Look at verse 42. And raised in incorruption. We're surrounded by death. No death there. You understand that, right? This is what he's saying. He said, know this. The sorrow, the pain, the sickness, the violence, the hate, all that goes on in the world that you live in right now, you're going to be sown in that corruption. It's going to be all around you. It's going to fill your mind. It's going to fill your body, the toxins, the poison, the environment. But when you resurrect, if you're saved in the grace of God, you're going to be resurrected in incorruption. You're coming up in power and in corruption. No sickness, no pain, no sorrow. He said also, going to be sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, but raised a spiritual body. I look forward to this day. Jesus has come out of the grave. What's it mean to you? Well, if you're saved, it means that you have received that and that your sin is forgiven and there is a better day coming. As a matter of fact, he closed this chapter in verse number 58 and he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable. Don't you give up on life. Don't you give up on life. You be steadfast. There's a better day coming. You stay focused on what God's called you to do. You stay focused on what lot God has given you in life. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus has come out of the grave. And we're to celebrate that today. And one day, we're all going to be in heaven, we that are saved. And we're going to celebrate together. What a glad reunion day that will be. But now, if you're here today and you're not saved, the very fact that your sin is not forgiven will seal your eternal doom. But I have some good news for you. And that is that Jesus died for your sin. And he was buried and he rose again for your justification. You can be saved. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Now, I don't mean have you ever attended a church or joined a church or have you ever tried to do better or quit something or started something else. I mean, has there ever been a time in your life where you realize I'm a sinner? Not because some preacher said I was, but because God said I was. Because my sin is against God. I have offended a holy God with my sin. Because of my sin, that separates me from God. And if I die in that state, I will die and go to hell. Hell is real. But God commendeth his love toward me. In that while I'm a sinner, Christ died for me. And if I will receive his death, burial, and resurrection for my forgiveness, I can be saved by God's grace. If you will receive him today, you will have a better, not only tomorrow, but life ever after. Let's all stand to our feet, okay? Those of you that are going to be baptized today, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and prepare for baptism. Those that will be baptized today, I wonder, as the pianist comes and we bow our heads together, I wonder If you'll bow your head with me, the pianist will begin to play. I wonder if there's someone here that is saved. You say, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. I know Him as my Savior. And I've been really contemplating on the afterlife and how it should affect this life and how it should motivate me and how it should guide me. And I just want to know more about the afterlife. Now, there may be someone saying, preacher, I'm just trying to catch up what's going on in this life. I don't know about the afterlife. Well, let me tell you something. The afterlife will help bring great clarity and perspective to this life. It will. And so if you're saved in the grace of God and you just need God to help you and to give you clarity, to give you perspective, guidance, why don't you come and kneel with these and say, God, help me. I want to stay focused. And I want to know more about the resurrection, the afterlife. Because I realize this life is not all there is. So, well, I'll get to it one day. Well, wait a minute now. Hold it. That's the wrong approach. If it's important to you, and I believe that it's important to all of us, take care of it today. Would you do that?